Welcome to the teaching ministries of Pastor Joseph Victor. For more information, visit www.worldliberationministriesli.org.
From our explanation of diligence, diligence is loving a thing, right? To do it. Love it to die there. Diligence. If you want to be diligent in your walk with God, what does that mean? If diligence is one of the attributes of diligence is love. If you want to be diligent to God or in your spirit, what does that mean? Bring those two together. That means you have to love God. Are you still here? That means you have to love the walk with God. You have to love the whole thing about God. You have to love it. You have to love your walk with God. Don't walk with God because you want to go to heaven. That's where a lot of people will fall. Because there's an aim. There's an ulterior motive. You're walking with God, got to go to heaven. Okay. That's why you keep falling. Walk with God because you love God. Because you believe that God is. And he's the biggest, the creator. Just love him. Mr. Shola, I forgot. Can you help us one of those lights because of the sound in the post-production? Do you understand what I'm saying? Are you catching where I didn't even know I was going to say this, so you know how it is. How I don't be knowing I'm going to say a lot of things. A lot of people are in church and are following God because they want to go to heaven. That is the wrong reason to go to come to church or to follow God. Follow God because you love him and you know that he's the rewarder. You know he's the Lord. That's why you should follow God. If you follow God for love, then nothing will take you away from him. But if you follow God, go to heaven, somebody's going to tell you one day that there's no heaven. And if he's able to prove to you that there's no heaven, what will happen? But somebody can't change your love for somebody if you really love somebody. If somebody's still here. So follow God because you believe him and he's real. We know God is real. You know God is real. You must have had one encounter or two. You know God is real. Follow him for his realness and for him being God. And of course, we know at the end there's reward for everyone who follows him, right? But don't worry about that first. Follow him first. Enjoy life. Tell anybody, say enjoy life first. All right, so we're going to go into a scripture, John 14:15, and a lot of people know this scripture, but I'm going to analyze something for you inside the scripture. So even if we are talking about diligence, and we're trying, but using this scripture, it would actually make it make sense to you, so that you can follow. Can we read this together if you don't mind? 1, 2, go. So now, if diligence, being diligent to God and to the work of the walk of the ministry and your walk with God, if you're going to be diligent with your walk with God, that means you have to do what? You have to love God, love Jesus. And if you love Jesus, what will you do? Keep his commandments. Wonderful. The question now is, what is his commandment? That's where we are going to shift a little bit, then we're going to come back at last. But I had to explain this to you so that you don't think that not fornicating, not stealing, not killing, not doing this is what he's talking about. Do you know there are people that don't fornicate, don't steal, don't kill, very moral, but they don't love God. They don't even believe God exists. Are you still here? Am I talking to you? Did that just make sense now? Is it true? That there are people that are morally upright, they don't believe God exists. Don't even say it close to them. So you see that those commandments are not what he's talking about. Because if it is, That means those people love God or love Jesus. But does it mean that we should not follow that either? We should be morally upright. Wonderful. But I'm trying to explain something to you, and you'll see why. You remember the Israelites? They did not know how to live. So God had to give them a commandment. I'll explain very soon. You'll catch it very soon. You'll catch it soon. Please listen to learn. Now, God had to give them a commandment so that he will align the way they are living. It's not necessarily that he needed to if they were already all right, if they were not slaves. Because even the Egyptians knew that it was wrong to kill their brother. They knew. So God didn't have to, if God was going to save, if the Egyptians were going to be the children of God, God didn't have to give them all this law. They already knew. But the Israelites did not know because they were slaves all their lives. And that's why if you see black Americans and the way they are behaving, don't mind them. They don't know better. You have to deal with them with love. I'm telling you the fact. I mean, you guys know black Americans, right? We're in America now, so you guys are black Americans. You're not in here, so I know you're with me here. So now, do you know they behave somehow? Most of them, if not all of them. Most of them, they behave somehow. Don't blame them. It's something that they don't know is wrong. Those kind of people, we need to give them commandment on how to live. Are you still here? We have to give them because they don't know. Most of them don't. That's the same thing that was wrong with the Israelites. I mean, this generation now, they're getting better. Just imagine how it was maybe a decade ago, 3 decades ago with the black Americans. They were more off than now. They're becoming more friendlier. Before, they were more off. If you were here 30 years ago, you would know. Or 40 years ago. I mean, what people were with me here 40 years ago. You get what I'm saying, right? So now, God had to give them this commandment. Those commandments were not necessarily something spiritual. It was just to help them live like a normal human being that he created. So those are not the commandments he's talking about. And let me make it a little clearer. I have some scriptures to make it a little clearer. In the book of Exodus 19, verse 7, Exodus chapter 19, verse 7. The word, see that? So Moses came and called for the elders of the people. This was when God was giving him the Ten Commandments. And laid before them all this word which the Lord commanded him. Now, the word commanded here and the word commanded in John was not the same. Are you still here? So I'm trying to teach you from every angle. So anyone you want to catch, you catch it. I remember then in Lagos State, Nigeria, to be precise, in Lagos, one day, some guys, they brought them from the east to Lagos. So one Iyagba was now telling the guy, "Wah, wah," and the guy ran away. Wah in Yoruba language means come. Wah in Igbo language means run. So the way the woman was saying, wah, wah, the guy thought there was danger and he took off. That's a lot of problem with a lot of people reading the Bible without knowing the original context. And trust me, even when you know the original context, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't really understand it though. You're just taking it literally. And that's why I said I'm going to teach you guys like this so that I can take you back to the original context. The first word, the one used in the in John, is the word entolas, entol. You can check the Strong 1785, I think 1718 also. Entolas. This command here is a charge, a precept, an injunction that is prescribed to one by reason of his office. The screen will take all of them. So it's like a prescription. Are you still here? So the commandment that Jesus was saying, if you love me, keep my commandment. He's saying, I have told you how to live. There's a prescribed way a Christian should live. But it wasn't a force. It's a charge, a precept. I've always told you about there. God gave laws and he gave ordinances. He gave precepts. The law is that if you fail, something will happen. But there were precepts and ordinances that if you fail, nothing will happen. It will only affect you physically and maybe spiritually, but it's not necessarily going to take hell. So entel is a charge, a precept, an injunction that is prescribed to one by reason of his office. So Jesus, being the Savior, the Son of God, the one that came to save us, he came to show us an example of how to live and walk with God. So he was telling them, pray without ceasing. You know, fast and pray so you don't fall into temptation. Pray all the time. You know, study your words. You know, give to this guy. He was giving them ways on how to live. Are you still here? But the word commandment that we read for the 10 commandments from Exodus is the word savar. This is to lay charge upon, give charge to order somebody. Have you seen that there are two different things? So one is a precept. One is a recommendation of how to live a good life. The second one is a charge. Why did God have to give the Israelites a charge? I explained before. Because they did not know how to live. But they must know how to live. They must live. Because this one are my people. This one, you must live right. So he gave them a charge. So if you fail, I kill you. So by the time he kill five, others will behave themselves. But in this our dispensation, it's no more a charge. It's no more an order. Is a prescription, because God wants you to come to him by yourself. God don't want to force you to himself. Are you, somebody still here? I don't think those people online got that one. So for our brethren online, we're going to give you this. All right? So the first one, again, is entolos. The verb, I think the noun is entol, the verb is entolos, which is a charge, precept, injunction that is to prescribe the one by the reason of his office. And the second one is savar, the one from Exodus. And that one is to lay charge upon, give charge to order. It was an order. That means if you don't do well, I slay you. Order. So there are two different words from the original. But in the English rendering, they are both commandments. So a lot of times, it would deceive one. See, brethren, if you want to understand the scriptures, ask the Holy Spirit. Ask him. If you take word for word, mostly when you're reading another language that's not the original context. I remember, even if it was the original language, you have to still know when was it written, to whom, what was the culture at the time. All these things will help you. This thing is a very deep something that you definitely need the Holy Spirit to help you with. All right, so our online people have gotten it, Abby. Wonderful. So let's move on. So, the commandment to follow Christ and to walk with God and to be diligent with him is not a force now. You would have to choose for yourself to follow him and follow his commandments. And it's not those ones you think. The commandment here, if you love me, know me. If you love me, walk with me. If you love me, communicate with me. Look at the examples Jesus gave. Every time he had an opportunity, what did Jesus do? Let's start there. You guys read your Bible, right? Or at least you're reading some parts. You know, many Christians will read their Bible only from Matthew. Matthew, the interesting parts. How many people have read from Genesis before? When you go to Leviticus, how did you feel? When you were in Exodus, how did you feel? It was very boring. Like, what is all this? So if you haven't, try so that you can be in our team. So that when we're saying like talking like this, you understand the experience. Have you done it before? Read from Genesis. It was funny, right? Just continue reading. When you get to maybe Joshua, you'll be more, it will now start becoming interesting. But you get what I'm saying, right? So what did Jesus what was his principles? What did he lay down? You have to look at these things. So if you love him, follow what he laid down. What did he lay down? If you realize that Jesus was a lot about love, was all about love. Jesus was all about love. All about love. And all about the kingdom. Remember, the spiritual controls the physical. Let me give you this way. If you want to live a great life, walking with God, who has the manual? God has the manual. He's the producer. The person who made a thing is the one who can tell you exactly how this thing will function 100%. So if you want to function 100% of your capability, then you have to ask God. And how are you going to ask God if you're not in fellowship with him? So you have to walk with God. To walk with God, you have to love him. Don't pray every day because you are forced to. Pray every day because you love God and you want to talk to him. Is somebody still here? So we pray every day, not because we are told to, not because we want our day to go smooth. A lot of people pray every day because they want their day to be fine and very productive. That's wonderful. Don't get me wrong. But communicate with God daily because of your love for him. Because of your love, because you want to walk with him. You want to see your full potential in life. And so you're walking with him and he's walking with you. And then you are able to achieve everything he needs you to achieve in this life. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. This one says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Have you seen that scripture? Let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. If you're going to walk with God, what's one of the things, one of the prescriptions? Love one another. So you cannot be walking with God and you don't love one another. You know, I've explained before on prayer. I don't want to go into all those ones because, you know, we have time to talk about prayer. But if you're walking with Jesus, if you're walking with God, you have to always communicate. How many people have friends here that they always communicate? I mean, I'm not saying every day, but maybe every day. And then you also have some other friends that you don't communicate always. Who are you closest to? The one you communicate every day with, or, you know, always with. The same thing, if you're going to walk with God, there has to be a constant communication. A constant communication with him. But while you are communicating with God, while you're communicating with God, are you going to not love your neighbor? I heard a preacher preach and he said something. He said, you claim to love God. You come to church in the best clothes and the best whatever, but your house girl don't have soap to bath. Are you still here? But in your own closet and storage, you have like a heap of soap that will last you for 5 years. But your house girl is looking for soap to take a shower. Is that love? And he was talking to even pastors. And you can come and you say the Spirit of God is moving. But is that not like kind of deceit? So listen, like, guys, just because somebody came and prayed for somebody and God answered the prayer, don't mean the person is following God well. There's something called gifts, and there's something called walking with God. I'm dealing with walking with God today. So if you're going to walk with God, you have to love. You have to have love. Love for God, of course, that's why you want to be diligent and walk with him, in your walk with him. And next thing is to love others. What will it cost you to really love others? What will it really cost you? It will cost you much. It will cost you something because you are supposed to love even those that hate you. How many people know that and you accept, you agree, agree with that? Even people that, like you walked into your kitchen or your house and somebody was putting poison in your food. You are supposed to still love the person. That's the instruction. That's, you remember, you don't have to love the person, but on the last day you deal with God on that one. But the precept that Christ has placed down is that you should still love the person. How many people know, who's this guy? I always mix his name, Philip and Stephen. Stephen. Mm-hmm. There's one song, I'll sing it. If you know it, I'll give you something. Saint Stephen, anybody know the song? Money gone, 1, 2, 3, gone. Thank God. Yeah, yes, yes. Then you want to, now you want to start thinking. It's a song that talks about Saint Stephen. Stephen was a something, and then Jesus Christ loved him and something like that. But I was trying to take his story. You know, when he was being stoned to death, Stephen, other human beings was stoning Stephen to death. Stephen was just a deacon in a church. He wasn't a pastor. They were stoning him to death. What did the Bible record? Stephen said, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. Brother, can you do that? Sister, can you do that? No, let's be honest. What you say? But you see, that's the kind of love that God expects you to have. You know? You still love them. Even when they hate you. Now, you have to be smart. If Stephen, after being stoned, if that same Stephen made it alive, I'm sure he would not want to be around where he would be stoned again. But he did not stop his love. He would not stop his love for them. If there's any way he can reach out to help them, he will still help them. But he will just not be close enough for that he will stone him. So I'm not saying you see somebody in your house trying to poison you, that you say, oh, I love you, and then you carry the food and eat it. Please, don't be, you know, stupidity and love is two different things. but you get where I'm coming from, right? Where I'm going to. You have to love God and then love your neighbors so that your walking with God can move smoother. And the first thing I explained to you was to move with God. How did, like, you have to communicate with God always if you love him. And that's where the diligence is. Walking with God, you have to get to talk to him daily. Your walk with God, you have to talk to him daily, because then he will give you specific instruction on how to move in life. And I brought up all this love thing because I'm trying to explain to you that in this dispensation, it is love that reigns. It's no more commands. It's no more, what's that word? The savoir. That's not what reigns anymore. It's the love. That means Christ loves you so much and he wants you to love him back and come because you love him. Not because he has placed a charge that you must do this. You must rest on the seventh day or I kill your family. You must give your tithe or I slander your generation. He doesn't, that's not how it is anymore. He wants you to love him. He loves you. He wants you to now love him and come lovingly, willingly. And that's why I told you, anything you don't want to do with love, please don't do it here. It's only the ones that you want to do with a cheerful heart that we want to take or accept service. Any other thing, please don't do. We are not forcing anybody to do anything here. Hallelujah. And I'm saying this so that when you are doing, we'll know you are using your heart to do it. You're not, in this dispensation, you are not compelled. God expects you to do it, but he's not compelling you and he's not punishing you for not doing. On the last day, we will know if you're born again. One. And secondly, we'll know how much work you put in. Leave that one to the last day. I will teach you on that next time. But for now, God wants you to come with your heart, with your full chest to him. and say, you know what, God, I love you so much, I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to walk with you. We're not talking about work today now. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to talk to you every day. You're going to lead my steps. I'm going to love my neighbors. You know, walking with God, he will tell you how to move, how to love your neighbors. Hallelujah. Did you catch the point? Are you getting the point now? John 13:34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. So if you want to follow Christ, you need to follow him in love. If you want to give to Christ, you have to give to him in love. If you want to come to church, come because you love God. You want to pray every day, pray because you love God. You want to help your neighbor that has offended you many times, do it because you love God. Let everything you do in your walk with God be out of love. I was explaining to someone, I said, do you know there are people that have offended me very well in this life? I've really offended me. Like, I should just start arranging how I want to pay back. But you see, when those people call me for assistance, do you know what comes to my head first? Somebody who has offended me called me for assistance. And somebody who has not offended me called me for assistance. Who, do you guess who I'm going to help first? The one that has offended me. Do you know why? And I'll help the other one too. But my mind will be pricking me to help them who has offended me. Do you know why? Because I don't want to have any guilty conscience that maybe because of the offense, that's why I did not help the person. It will kill me to have that thing in my mind that, oh, because the person offended me, that's why I didn't help him. So just because you have offended me, if you like, why offend me so that you ask me for it? But you understand what I'm saying? Just because I don't want to have it in my mind that, oh, because this person offended me, that's why I didn't. Because guess what? We are human beings. So that innate response will come to mind first. Like, this guy is asking me for this. After doing all this thing to me, it's going to come to your mind. So because it came to my mind, I will now consciously make sure I help that person so that I don't get beaten. I don't start beating myself. You know, the worst beating is when you beat yourself. He said, let this mind be in you. Let the mind of Christ be in you. Think like Christ. Behave like Christ. Even the people who have done you wrong, be willing to love them. Be willing to love them. And then communicate every day with Christ. I hope you're catching this message. You're catching it. Be diligent in your walk with Christ. And in order to be diligent in your walk with Christ, you have to love Christ. Then love your neighbors. Love other human beings. And if you do, you will communicate with who you love. How many people love somebody here? You love somebody here? How often do you communicate with the person you love? All the time. If you love somebody, you communicate with them all the time. So if you love Christ, what will you do? You communicate with him all the time. If you love God, you want to talk to him. And he's going to help our lives. We are rounding up. It's going to help our lives a great deal. Loving God is going to help your life a great deal. You'll be getting direct instructions. How many people have ever gotten direct instructions from God here? You'll get direct instructions. And even the people around you will be amazed. How do you know that this is something you're supposed to do next? How do you know that if you make this move, this will happen? How? Because you are getting direct instructions from God. Why don't you rise up to your feet and let's pray.
I believe you've been blessed by this ministration. If you want to reach out to us, connect with us, or partner with us, kindly visit www.worldliberationministriesli.org.